The Big 12 Conference has five teams in the second round of the NCAA tournament. That's the most of any conference in the country. Welcome in. I'm Pete Mundo. We are Heartland College Sports covering the Big 12 as we do each and every day. And the first round of the NCAA tournament is in the books. Thanks for being here. Join us on YouTube. Hit that thumbs up at the bottom of the video. As always, the podcast, leave that five-star rating and review. And to those of you who are listening on the radio on any of our affiliates, we appreciate you being here and joining us as a part of the show. So the Big 12 goes 5-3 in the first round. There's no doubt there are disappointing losses across the board. TCU falling to Utah State, BYU losing to Duquesne, and Texas Tech against NC State, all disappointing. But when you have the most teams of any conference in the round of 32, you got to be pleased with that if you're the Big 12. There's no doubt about it. So when I look at this first round and I say the biggest and most impressive team to me was, fill in the blank, it was Houston on Saturday night. Now, I know you're thinking 1-16 matchup. What do you mean? How is that impressive? They beat, you know, Longwood by 40 points. Okay, they did, and yes, Longwood was a team that had a tremendous run in the Big South tournament. They were 6-10 in the regular season. They weren't all that good, and then they came to March. They got, I don't want to say they got lucky, but they earned their way in. That's true. But for Houston, I just wanted to see what this team looked like after the blowout loss to Iowa State in the Big 12 championship game. And they looked good. They looked fresh. You heard Kelvin Sampson after the game talk about how they looked fresh in the wake of that blowout loss last Saturday night. They looked rejuvenated. And Kelvin Sampson admitted that the best thing that happened to them, he said this after the game on CBS, he said the best thing that happened to his Houston Cougars was getting a week off. They needed that. Their bodies needed that. You're talking about three Big 12 games in 3 days, and these guys were, you know, shorthanded as well. And on top of that, they got some bodies back. Juwan Roberts, he was out for the Big 12 tournament finals after he hurt his right leg in the semifinals against Texas Tech. He was back. He looked good. 7 points, 5 boards. Ramon Walker returned as well, a guy who hasn't played in over a month after he injured himself during practice with a torn meniscus. He played a few minutes. So all these guys were back in the saddle for the Houston Cougars, and they look like a team that can make that run to a Final Four. I've got them in the championship game, but it looked like the Houston team we had seen all season. Yes, it was Longwood. I get it. I understand who they were playing. But we've seen these 16-1 upsets before, and this was anything but, as the Cougars jumped out to a 10-0 lead, and this game was over in the first 4 minutes. So good job by Kelvin Sampson, getting his team healthy, getting his team refocused, and that's why I actually thought that Iowa State loss was not a bad thing at all. And you heard Kelvin Sampson after the game talk about this. Kelvin Sampson still raving about Iowa State fans all these days later. He was asked about, you know, after the game, hey, how'd you bounce back from Iowa State? He goes, and I'm paraphrasing here, you know, wasn't worried about the game. The most impressive thing about that game was Iowa State fans, 17, 18,000 people there at T-Mobile in Kansas City. So that was Kelvin Sampson not sweating what happened last Saturday. There was no reason to. And, you know, his team looked very much refocused here in this game on Friday night. Now, when you talk about disappointments, you might say, well, it's got to be BYU or Texas Tech. They were both six seeds. BYU lost to Duquesne out of the A-10. Texas Tech lost to NC State. That's not it. The biggest disappointment out of the Big 12 in the NCAA tournament is TCU. TCU favored against Utah State, and they get blasted in this 8-9 game on Friday. You know, Jamie Dixon going to TCU basketball has made them relevant, has made them interesting, has gotten them to the NCAA tournament for 3 years. But it's fair to say at some point you have to get beyond the first weekend, right? At some point, you got to feel like you can win one of these or two of these games in a row on the first weekend and get to a Sweet 16 for the first time since 1968. Jamie Dixon has gotten TCU back into the conversation. I mean, heck, you know, they're now going to NCAA tournaments. They only went to one in this century. Well, they went to none in this century until Jamie Dixon got them back to it in 2018. And now they've been to three straight. But you go back 3 years ago, they beat Seton Hall in the first round. They lost to Arizona in overtime. Last year, they beat Arizona State in the first round. They lose to Gonzaga in the second round. And now they've lost to Utah State in the first round of the tournament. I know, you know, they've had draws that have resulted in them playing higher seeds in the second round. But this loss in particular really stings for a TCU team that was favored, that deserved to be favored, that was the better team coming out of the much better conference, and it was not a good situation for the Horned Frogs in this game. I mean, it just got out of hand real quick, especially in that second half, and it felt like the last 10 minutes we were just playing out the string. So Jamie Dixon has been obviously great to return, the hometown hero, the alum, the whole thing. But this one's going to sting for a little bit if you're a TCU basketball fan. There's no doubt about it. Now, the other two games, like, they're not as disappointing. BYU, we knew, was going to be feast or famine. We knew that they lived and they died by the three-pointer. That's just what TCU was for most of the season. Now, they could play down low. They could play a little in and out. But in the end, they were going to live and die by this three-pointer. And they played a scrappy Duquesne team that had a good defense, had a good game plan going into this game, and you saw it work out for them in a very impressive way. They held BYU to 33% from three-point range. BYU was struggling most of the way, hitting the long ball, whereas Duquesne hit just enough. Now, they had to hang on for dear life there, it felt like, at the very end, but this is not like an impossibility. I had BYU in the Sweet 16. But I didn't sit there as I was watching that game on Thursday afternoon and be like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this happened. I didn't feel that way. So it just felt to me like, okay, this was always possible with this BYU team. I'm not shocked. I'm not stunned. I'm disappointed for them. I'm disappointed for the Big 12 that they get blown out, or, you know, not blown out, but blasted and knocked out by an A-10 team in the first round of the NCAA tournament, when they were, you know, solid favorites going into this thing. But I'm not like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that happened. I wasn't necessarily stunned by it. So that was BYU. And then Texas Tech. You know, listen, I got a lot of crap from Tech fans this year. And I could take it. I'm not looking for any sympathy on that. But I got a lot of crap from Tech fans because I just was never fully bought in. And then they run into an NC State team that won the ACC tournament, and they picked up right where they left off. And they dominated Texas Tech for most of this game on Thursday night. And, you know, I love Pop Isaacs. He's been a really good player for Texas Tech. But once again, he just couldn't buy a bucket. 1-10 from three-point range, 3-16 from the floor. And you look at Pop Isaacs here over the last bunch of games. I'm going to read you the field goal shooting of Pop Isaacs over the last, I don't know, couple of weeks, 3-4 weeks. 3-16, 2-13, 9-19, 6-14, 7-11, 4-12, 5-18, 3-12, 4-11, 2-11, 1-9, 2-13. 4-12. You get the point. That's going back to early February. And you can really find two or three games where Pop Isaacs shot the ball well. You look at the BYU game in the Big 12 tournament last week, the Baylor game the Saturday before that to close out the regular season, and the Oklahoma State game. Outside of that, 2-11s, 1-9s, 4-11s, 3-12s, 5-18s, 3-16 on Thursday night. I mean, you know, when the guy that's your leader, that's your scorer, is just struggling like he was over the last few weeks, it's very difficult to put together a deep run. And, you know, you had Warren Washington back in the saddle. That was obviously a good thing for Texas Tech. You wanted to get him back. He played for the first time in almost a month, but you knew he was going to be somewhat limited, or he wasn't going to be, you know, his best. And it was going to be tough sledding for Texas Tech against NC State. And that's exactly what you saw. So I just was never fully bought in. And you saw some of the reasons for that on Thursday night. Now, I think the future's bright under Grant McCasland. You know, I think he did a lot more than people expected this year with this team. But it just turned out to not be much more than an NCAA tournament team that got ousted early. So those are the three Big 12 teams that ended up going down on Thursday and Friday in the first round of the NCAA tournament. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. It is great to be here with you covering the Big 12 Conference as the first round is in the books. Now, the other teams that won, let's talk about them. I mentioned that Houston was the most impressive to me, just based on what I saw. But let's look at some of the other games here in terms of teams that are going on to the second round. You've got Baylor, Houston, Iowa State, Kansas, and Texas. So you look at the games from Thursday, and Kansas hung on to beat Samford in the 4-13 game. Listen, Kansas got a gift. We all know it. That was not a foul at the end of the game with KU up one in the final 20 seconds against Samford. That helped KU seal the deal. Now, KU fans will say, and we'll talk about the fact, that, well, hey, there were calls earlier that went Samford's way. Okay, fine, yeah, there were some, I'll give you that. But in crunch time, in the final seconds, in a one-point game with the game on the line, we know the officiating has stunk across the board in college basketball all year. So I'm not, like, outraged by it. I expect bad calls. But let's just admit that was a bad call. Right? Like, let's just... I'm not going to sit here and scream and rant and say, KU's always getting the calls. Like, I can't say that. It was just a really bad call. Should not have been a foul. Would have liked to have seen Samford get a chance to win that game at the buzzer. The block was clean. Let's all just admit that's what happened here. Because that's exactly what ended up happening. But you know what? For KU, you move on, and you're going to the round of 32. And obviously, you know, shorthanded, no Kevin McCullough. It is what it is. So good job by Kansas advancing. Iowa State doing what a lot of us expected them to do, taking care of South Dakota State 82-65. That game, of course, was on Thursday out of the Big 12. And listen, Iowa State looks like a team that I think can get and will get to an Elite Eight. And it will be the best Elite Eight matchup when they take on UConn. That's my prediction in what is going to be a chalk of a regional. That is a heck of a 1-2. And, you know, I heard and I saw, was it Jamie Pollard for Iowa State? I think he made some comments this week I saw about how Iowa State deserved the seed that they got, being the eighth team in the country and having to go against UConn potentially in the Elite Eight. Listen, Jamie Pollard's great. I'm a huge Jamie Pollard fan, but I vehemently disagree with him on this. Iowa State was worthy of a one seed. At the very worst, they should have gotten the draw into UNC in that regional. They still, as I understand it, could have played in Omaha. It would not have impacted them playing in Omaha this first weekend, as I understand it. So I just think they got a raw deal and a raw draw with this potential UConn matchup. I know I'm skipping ahead, but I really think we're headed for that chalk in that East regional. And it's going to be chaos up there in Beantown when Cyclone Nation comes to town. So I'm not trying to skip ahead here. I'm just, you know, I'm looking at it for what it is. Washington State, okay, might give them a little bit of trouble coming up on Saturday, but I really like where this Cyclones team is at. No doubt about it. The other victors, of course, in the Big 12. We've talked about three of them. We've talked about Houston, Iowa State, Kansas. The other ones, of course, Texas. That was on Thursday. Texas, you know, Texas looked good against Colorado State. It was ugly, but Texas closed the first half on a 26-3 run against Colorado State. Like, they were down early. It was 8-1 early in the game, and then Texas closed the first half 26-3. And they end up winning the game 56-44 over Colorado State. So all in all, if you're a Texas fan, listen, you're looking at that game and you're saying, okay, we beat a team that won a play-in. Let's just keep this thing rolling. And that's exactly what Texas did for a team that hasn't had a great season. But here's Rodney Terry, you know, year and a half into the job. Last year, he wins the Big 12 tournament, gets to an Elite Eight. This year, he blows out in the first round of the Big 12 tournament. It's kind of an up-and-down season. There's a lot of drama. But here he is getting set for a second-round game and a chance to punch a ticket to the Sweet 16. Now, on Friday, the other game we haven't mentioned out of the Big 12 was also a blowout. Baylor beating Colgate 92-67. Jalen Bridges helping lead the way for Baylor with 23 points. So Baylor doing what I thought they would do. And Baylor's a team that I have in the Final Four, in part because I think that regional is fairly weak. And we'll see if they can prove that in their round of 32 game coming up on Sunday. So this weekend, here's what we've got in the Big 12. We've got afternoon game on Saturday. Kansas, as a 4 seed, plays Gonzaga. That's going to be after Dayton and Arizona take the court. Then, late afternoon, early evening, you've got Iowa State playing Washington State in a 2-7 matchup. Early evening, Rick Barnes and Tennessee take on Texas. So that's a fun matchup because we know Rick Barnes' history with Texas. Rodney Terry coached under Rick Barnes. So you have some connections there, obviously, when it comes to Texas and the Big 12. And then on Sunday, you got a couple of Big 12 games. Houston and A&M. That's going to be good. Big 12 SEC matchup, just like you got in Texas, Tennessee, although some of us might just say that's an all-SEC matchup. And then you also have Baylor and Clemson. And let me tell you what. I want to see Baylor beat the absolute piss out of Clemson in this game. Because Brad Brownell, you know what? I'm not going to apologize for screwing up his name. Screw him. He's the guy who started this grand conspiracy theory that the Big 12 is secretly manipulating the net to try to get more teams in the Big 12 tournament and try to make it appear like they're the best conference in college basketball. That came from the Clemson head coach. I want to see Baylor and Scott Drew blast this team by 25 points. Don't take your foot off the pedal. Just keep grinding them down and blow this team out so they never forget Baylor and they never forget the Big 12. That's what I want to see on Sunday. Because this whole thing about the Big 12 net started and began with Clemson's head coach. So that game is circled for me in a way I would have never expected, and I want to make sure and I want to see Baylor take care of business in an enormous way coming up on Sunday. I cannot wait for that. And I'm already fired up about it, by the way. So, and don't forget, too, future Big 12 teams, Colorado and Arizona, are also in the round of 32. So we'll be watching that as well. If I were to look at these games and rank them, I've got Houston A&M at Houston A&M. I've got Baylor, Clemson. Those are the two Sunday games. And then on Saturday, you've got KU, Gonzaga. You've got Iowa State, Washington State, and Texas, Tennessee. If I'm going to rank these games, I would say it's Baylor, Clemson at the top for the reasons I just mentioned. Houston A&M. They played this year. Houston snuck out with a 4-point win. KU, Gonzaga, I would put at third. Iowa State, Washington State at fourth, and then Texas, Tennessee at the bottom of that list when it comes to just quality of game and also intrigue and storylines going in to these games. But you've got five Big 12 teams in the round of 32. And as I'm looking at it, listen, I think Baylor wins. I think Houston wins. I think Iowa State wins. I think Texas ends up coming up short against Tennessee. I don't think they'll be able to keep up. And I think KU is a coin flip right now with Gonzaga. You know, I mean, we know that KU is shorthanded, but heck, if Bill Self can win this game, it'll be a hell of a coaching job. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. It is always good to have you guys here and joining us as we talk about everything going on in the Big 12 Conference. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of the show. If you're just joining us, hit the thumbs up on YouTube, subscribe on the podcast, and thank you, as always, to our radio affiliates for joining us here. Let's look at some of your comments. Colby says, go Clones. Well, you guys are in a great spot to reach a Sweet 16 for the second time in 3 years. Creighton says, TCU is making progress, but it doesn't seem good enough. Pretty much par for the course in Fort Worth. You know, listen, this is a bad loss for TCU. It is. There's no other way to spin it. They were, what, 3-4 point favorites against Utah State, and they got blown out in this first round game on Friday night. It's a bad loss. I totally agree. They're making progress. It's going to be harder in this new look Big 12. But what I want to see for TCU, can they just get themselves to like a 6 or a 7 seed? That'll make life a lot easier in the NCAA tournament. It feels like every year they're an 8, they're a 9. I guess in fairness, last year they were a 6. But still, it just, you know, if they can get themselves into that 6-7 slot a little more frequently, they'll have better chances. But, you know, 2 of the last 3 years they were 9 seeds, and it didn't work out for them in getting out of that first round. They're trying to get to a Sweet 16 for the first time since the late 60s. It's been a hot minute for TCU. Let's see, what else do we have here? Pete, unfortunate for BYU to be done. I like all the matches for Iowa State up until UConn. Well, you know, I do too. I absolutely like all the matchups through UConn, until UConn. I think Iowa State's path is certainly one that you got to look at right now and say, yeah, it's solid. Now, Illinois is not going to be easy, assuming Illinois gets past Duquesne. But either way, that's going to be a tricky game, but it's not going to be nearly as tough as UConn, who I think will be destined for, at the very least, the Elite Eight. And then, you know, not going to get caught looking too far ahead, but Houston, Duke in a Sweet 16 could be a lot of fun. No doubt about that. And then if, you know, depending on how Kansas shakes out, you could get KU Purdue in a Sweet 16. Hunter Dickinson, that's going to be a lot of fun. If he gets to pick on Zach Edey, that'll be great in a Sweet 16 matchup. So keep an eye on storylines like that if we end up getting them. And then Baylor, Arizona. Man, that would be a fantastic Sweet 16 game. Michael writes, SEC, SEC. You know, screw the SEC. Let me just go on this for a second here. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, what a turd and a half this guy is. All right, he talked earlier this week about how we got to take away some of the auto bids for the small school conferences. And what happens to his beloved and the almighty SEC? They start off 1-5 in the NCAA tournament. Now, they ended up 3-5, but they started off 1-5 in the NCAA tournament. And by the way, it wasn't like they just went 1-5. They lost to some of those small schools that Greg Sankey wants to take away auto bids from. Auburn lost to 13-seed Yale. And then you had 14-seed Oakland upsetting 3-seed Kentucky out of the SEC. This is what makes this tournament great. That is what makes these 4 days some of the best 4 days on the sports calendar all year. This is not college football, Greg Sankey. Somebody needs to explain that to him. This is not college football. Yale is never beating Auburn in football. The beauty of basketball is you can take a bunch of guys that are going to be selling insurance in 5 years, and they can beat high-level D1 and future NBA basketball players. Just look at Oakland and Kentucky. That doesn't happen in football. I get it. But someone needs to explain to Greg Sankey, since he's a little slow, that football is not basketball. And taking away the auto bids and taking away the small school Cinderella stories would be the best or the worst thing to happen to this sport. Once you get to the Sweet 16, it's about the big boys. But this first weekend is about the Cinderellas, and it's what makes this four-day stretch as special as any. I'm Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. Hope you guys are doing great, and it is going to be a fun couple of days. Make sure you're here, you're tuned in. We'll have more shows coming for you. Make sure you're subscribed to YouTube and to the podcast, and we'll be talking to you guys soon. Have a great day. Go Big 12 and enjoy the madness. See you later.